Hello, seafood friends. You're listening to Catch the Current, the coolest seafood podcast out there from the team at Undercurrent, bringing you everything from the boats to the boardrooms, breaking down the news, spilling a little industry fish oil, and sharing the sharp market insights you need to know. I'm Amanda Buckle.
And I'm Lauren Castiglione. We've had quite a few tariff updates in U.S. President Donald Trump's trade war, and I think it's about time for a tariff roundup. What do you say, Amanda?
Sounds about right. On Thursday, July 23rd, U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer announced that the Donald Trump administration will hit several of the U.S.'s big seafood source nations with 10 to 12.5% tariffs. These tariffs on goods from 60 countries are set to take effect on Friday, July 24th, under Section 301 of the Trade Act. Now, the tariffs will cover 99.4% of U.S. imports and effectively replace the temporary 10% global duty implemented in February under Section 122 of the Trade Act, which expires on Friday. This latest action in Trump's trade war is based on a months-long investigation into countries' efforts to eliminate forced labor from global supply chains, arguing that inadequate enforcement creates unfair competition for U.S. producers. Now, the countries hit with a 12.5% tariff include Brazil, Vietnam, Chile, China, Thailand, Japan, South Korea, and Norway. And these are many of the top shrimp, salmon, tuna, and tilapia producing nations. Meanwhile, Ecuador, Indonesia, the United Kingdom, and the countries in the European Union will have their seafood and other goods slapped with a 10% duty. Now, Canada and Mexico were also hit with a rate of 10%, though those goods in the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Free Trade Agreement are exempt. Now, a list of goods exempted from the new tariffs contains virtually no edible seafood products, despite lobbying efforts from various exporting nations and some U.S. seafood trade groups. While it identifies a limited number of marine-related items, such as shells and certain animal feeding ingredients, it does not exempt any of the principal HTS codes covering fish and seafood, meaning that most imported seafood from the affected countries remains subject to the new Section 301 duties. The new duties are not expected to stack on top of existing Section 232 tariffs, though Section 232 duties do not currently impact seafood imports. Now, Greer warned a second ongoing Section 301 investigation into alleged unfair trade practices will likely result in additional tariffs on 16 countries, including several major seafood producing nations. But the USTR has not yet announced proposed rates for those tariffs. Now, let's take a look at what's going on with a separate tariff on Brazil, because that's a whole other can of worms that opened up this week. So after a year-long Section 301 investigation into Brazil's trade practices, the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative confirmed that it will impose a 25% tariff on thousands of Brazilian products. According to the USTR, Brazil failed to adequately enforce intellectual property rights or anti-deforestation laws, has not taken sufficient measures to combat corruption or bribery, and has unfairly restricted access to its ethanol market. But some good news here, the U.S. seafood industry secured a significant concession in Trump's final Section 301 tariff action against Brazil, with most commercially important seafood imports escaping the new 25% duty, which took effect this Wednesday, July 22nd.
The original Section 301 tariff proposal, which was submitted June 1st, exempted beef, coffee, rare earth metals, aircraft equipment, and certain fruits and vegetables, but not seafood. And just so everyone understands what was at stake here, the U.S. imported 28,138 metric tons of seafood worth $209.7 million from Brazil in 2025. That's down from the 29,978 metric tons worth $255.8 million imported in 2024. And you can find all of this information and more on UCN's trade portal. However, the final Federal Register notice expanded the exemption list to include fresh tilapia, frozen spiny and rock lobster, fresh yellowfin and big eye tuna, fresh swordfish, and several other seafood-related harmonized tariff codes. And some more clarity for folks that have product on the water, the tariff had originally been expected to take effect on July 15th, but the implementation date was pushed back to July 22nd. Products already loaded onto vessels and in transit before the effective date will remain exempt if they enter the U.S. by July 29th, providing additional relief for shipments already moving through the supply chain.
An additional 10% global Section 122 tariff imposed by the USTR is not set to expire by statute until this Friday, July 24th, meaning there will be 2 days of overlapping stacked tariffs, bringing the total tariff hitting Brazilian goods to 35% for a short period. But most Brazilian seafood will enter the U.S. tariff-free after that date. Brazil's aquaculture sector is, of course, welcoming the U.S.'s decision to keep fresh tilapia fillets outside the new 25% tariff, saying it preserves the product's competitiveness and reinforces recognition of the quality of Brazilian tilapia. Fresh tilapia fillets are the core of Brazil's exports to the U.S., but frozen fillets were not included in the exemption list and will be subject to the additional tariff. Now, according to UCN's trade portal, roughly 5,721 metric tons of last year's volume was fresh. That's $43.8 million in value, and 4,587 metric tons worth $13.4 million was frozen. So we've got links in the show notes if you want to further deep dive into the situation with Brazil.
In other Section 301 tariff news, Undercurrent editorial director Cliff White reported earlier this week that a sanctions bill that would give the president broad authority to impose tariffs on imports from countries purchasing Russian energy is moving close to a Senate vote. The revised legislation authorizes the president to impose tariffs of up to 100% on imports from the largest purchasers of Russian oil and of natural gas to punish them for supporting Russia's invasion of Ukraine. That list includes major U.S. seafood sources as India, China, Japan, and the European Union. It's narrower than a previous proposal that called for tariffs up to 500% on countries buying any goods from Russia, but the bill creates a new mechanism for Trump to punish major seafood exporting countries he has targeted in previous rounds of tariffs, which the U.S. Supreme Court subsequently deemed illegal.
The National Fisheries Institute, the largest U.S. seafood trade group, told Undercurrent that it opposes the legislation. NFI Chief Strategy Officer Gavin Gibbons told Undercurrent that while NFI supports U.S. efforts that will bring an end to Russia's war on Ukraine, this bill, as currently written, has the potential to negatively impact the global seafood supply chain for exports from the U.S. and imports into the U.S. The Russia sanctions bill was championed by U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham, a South Carolina Republican who died suddenly earlier this month on July 11th. Following his death, his sister, Darlene Graham, was appointed to fill his seat for the remainder of his term. And she introduced the updated legislation just last week, which is now titled the Lindsey O. Graham Sanctioning Russia Act. The bill has already gathered 61 senators as co-sponsors, including 39 Republicans and 22 Democrats, which is enough to clear a Senate filibuster.
The biggest hurdle remaining for the legislation is securing floor time for formal introduction and debate. Trump hasn't yet endorsed the legislation, but has signaled he's open to signing it if it reaches his desk. For seafood importers, the legislation's greatest significance lies in the list of countries that could ultimately fall within its scope. The U.S. imported 325,420 metric tons of seafood, mostly shrimp, worth $2.6 billion from India in 2025, ranking it as the U.S.'s third largest source. While its volume remained flat from 2024, the value of U.S.'s imports increased 6%. U.S. importers paid $361.2 million in tariffs on Indian seafood last year. The EU is another big seafood source for the U.S., sending it 137,714 metric tons worth $1.3 billion in 2025, though importers were stuck with tariffs of $119.5 million on EU seafood last year.
As for China, the U.S. imported 313,423 metric tons of seafood worth about $1.3 billion in 2025, down 11% by volume and 16% by value over 2024. Now, U.S. tariffs on Chinese seafood cost importers $391 million last year, roughly 30% of the value. And of course, you can't forget that China is currently impacted by U.S. Section 301 tariffs on tilapia, cod, pollock, salmon, shrimp, and an array of processed seafood products, though additional tariffs imposed for much of 2025 were eliminated in February with the Supreme Court's decision to nullify Trump's ability to impose duties under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. And then looking at Japan, the U.S. imported 33,335 metric tons of seafood worth $557.7 million in 2025. That's down 3% by volume and up 13% by value. U.S. importers paid $40.6 million in tariffs on Japanese seafood imports last year.
Indian seafood exporters are already preparing for the possibility that the Trump administration will impose reciprocal tariffs under its expanding Section 301 authority. Even though new U.S. tariffs could reduce India's competitiveness against rival shrimp suppliers such as Ecuador, Indonesia, and Vietnam, top Indian trade officials appear to have gained confidence that the country's export sector can withstand higher tariff levels after it survived months with a 50% U.S. tariff between August and February. U.S.-China trade negotiations are proceeding even more slowly. There have been several bilateral meetings of high-level trade officials, and Trump visited Beijing in May, but no comprehensive trade agreement has emerged from those encounters.
Meanwhile, the European Parliament announced last month that it had approved legislation implementing the EU's trade agreement with the U.S. The deal sets a 15% tariff cap on most EU goods entering the U.S. European Union members still need to approve the agreement before it officially is enacted, but their approval is considered a formality. Japan, on the other hand, sits in the most secure position among countries potentially affected by Russia-related sanctions, having secured a 15% maximum tariff in its July 2025 trade agreement with the U.S.
Link to more on the Russia-related sanctions in our show notes. In other Trump trade news impacting the seafood world, the president has threatened to tariff Canada to punish the country for wildfires that have degraded air quality across large swaths of North America.
It was pretty bad last week.
It was.
It was bad. And I didn't realize it was nearly 900 active wildfires in Canada. I mean, we had smoke by us in New Jersey.
Well, Trump shared on his Truth Social platform that, quote, we are holding Canada responsible for the fact that they are not properly maintaining their forests and brush therein, and the United States is being unnecessarily invaded by filthy, polluted, and unhealthy air, and the quality of which is dangerous and totally unacceptable. He added that poor air quality is, quote, costing the United States billions of dollars, and that the cost of this pollution must of necessity be added to the tariffs Canada is currently paying, unquote.
So Canada's Prime Minister Mark Carney has countered that instead of placing the blame on Canada, the U.S. should be aiding it in fighting the wildfires. But meanwhile, amid this fight over the wildfires, Undercurrent has reviewed the harmonized tariff schedule codes listed by Trump to get hit with 50% tariffs, and it does not include lobster, snow crab, or other seafood items. The tariffs, which have been launched under Section 338 of the 1930 Trade Act, exclude seafood, amongst other items, but include goods previously protected from tariffs by the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement signed by Trump in 2020. The USMCA has not been renewed by the U.S., triggering a new set of negotiations that could run until 2036. All right. Have we hit all the major trade war news from these past few weeks?
Well, in the U.S. at least. But if anyone needs more tariff updates, then check out the live blog on our site. But for our friends in Europe, European Union ambassadors reached a political agreement on its 21st package of sanctions against Russia on Thursday, July 23rd. The final measure contains no restrictions on Russian seafood imports after proposed sanctions were dropped during negotiations. The absence of seafood measures marks a significant retreat from the Commission's original proposal unveiled in June. At the time, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen described fisheries as one of the last major unsanctioned sectors and proposed substantial restrictions on imports of some fish products and a complete ban on others, including cod. However, those proposals were removed as member states negotiated the package. A proposed ban on Russian cod and pollock imports had already been dropped following opposition from countries including Germany and Portugal, with the wider fisheries measures also disappearing from the final text as Brussels sought unanimous backing.
Now, moving on to one of our breaking news stories from this week. Sources told Undercurrent that U.S. seafood giant Mark Foods closed the acquisition of all of Endeavor Seafood, a Newport, Rhode Island-based importer and marketer of frozen seafood products. Mark Foods will pass $1 billion in revenue in 2026 with the acquisition. Endeavor was established in 2001 by Mike Bush, Todd Clark, and George Sousa, three longtime seafood supply chain professionals. Bush and Clark will continue with Mark Foods, bringing their expertise and relationships to the combined organization. Sousa's planned retirement coincides with the transaction. However, he has agreed to continue serving Mark Foods in an advisory capacity. Now, the Endeavor acquisition is the latest in a series of strategic investments by Mark Foods over the last several years. These investments include Bristol Seafood in 2025, moving the company into scallops, then Arisa Industries' seafood division in 2023, and Open Water Seafoods in 2021.
And in other acquisition news, Indian-owned U.S. seafood importer AZ Gems has completed the acquisition of one Argentine red shrimp plant and is on the brink of buying two vessels and then two more plants in Chubut province. The move marks a big step in the company's push to vertically integrate the supply of wild-caught shrimp destined for the U.S. market. Links to both those stories can be found in our show notes.
And finally, a U.S. lawmaker has revived his, and I quote here, grow an extra ear imported shrimp shtick.
I'm sorry, what?
You don't remember last year when U.S. Senator John Kennedy showed up to a Senate hearing with a giant poster of that monster from that movie Alien?
Yes, that was supposed to be our Halloween costume,
oh
right?
Oh my gosh, yeah. And he said, this is what you could end up looking like if you eat some of the raw frozen shrimp being sent to the U.S. by other countries.
Yes, the height of the radioactive shrimp recalls.
Oh, what a time to be alive.
Seems like a lifetime ago.
It does seem like a lifetime ago. Well, on Tuesday this week at another Senate hearing, he questioned U.S. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins about seafood imports, honing in on the struggles of domestic shrimp and oyster harvesters who have to compete with products that he says, and I quote, are full of antibiotics. And he asked Rollins, and another quote here, and if you eat too much of that foreign shrimp and oysters, you'll grow an extra ear, won't you?
So what did she say?
Well, she pulled back her hair and pointed to her third ear. No, I'm kidding. She does not have a third ear. Sometimes I wish I had a third ear. I have like a hard time hearing sometimes, you know. Just came back from a concert. I think it's like just too much music.
Oh, you got concert ears going on. Yeah. Don't worry. Just give me a few days.
I'll just eat some imported shrimp and hopefully that'll solve my problem. No, but in all seriousness, U.S. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins, she said, I'm not sure about that, but I know it's not good. And Kennedy's comments mark the latest chapter in his long-running campaign targeting imported seafood, particularly shrimp. He's made statements as part of his push to increase inspections of imported seafood dating back to at least 2023 that some foreign shrimp sold in the U.S. have enough chemicals in them to make you grow an extra ear. And of course, he revived the barbs last September, like I mentioned, you know, bringing up that crazy poster. But in addition to fighting for tighter inspections, Kennedy has also been a part of the push to allow the FDA to destroy imported seafood and other products that are deemed a significant public health risk.
That's right. Senator Rick Scott, a Florida Republican, introduced the Destruction of Hazardous Imports Act in November of 2025. Kennedy co-sponsored the bill along fellow Republican Senators Cindy Hyde-Smith of Mississippi and Tommy Tuberville of Alabama. U.S. Representative Clay Higgins, a Louisiana Republican, built upon that legislation, introducing the Destruction of Hazardous Imports Act in April 2025. His bill cleared the House Energy and Commerce Committee with a unanimous vote in May of 2026 and won approval in the full House by a voice vote just this past Monday, July 20th. It now heads to the U.S. Senate.
So this radioactive shrimp thing, it was like almost a year ago now. It was like August that it started coming up.
Yes.
And now it's like, you know, a year later, now we got the diarrhea lettuce. It's like, it's one thing after another. 2025, the year of radioactive shrimp, and then 2026, the year of diarrhea lettuce.
August is not a good month.
Yeah. Well, we're not in August yet. So do you think, are you predicting it's going to get worse, Lauren?
Oh God.
All right. Hold on to your hats, people.
Summertime. We don't know what day it is or month.
Well, that does it for us this week.
Yes, it does. I got to go.
As always, check out undercurrentnews.com and we'll see you back here next week.
Bye-bye.